This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
I roll out my 20s, moving on through my 30s. I got 40s ahead of me on down the road. I gotta get there tonight, some say. Gotta use up all your daylight before it goes out for good. Yeah, well, I'm hoping I'm an older man. I ain't dreaming the same story about holding that sea guitar without any strings. 'Cause I'm freezing up in my hotel, feeling the love to the ones I belong to. I ain't treating you right. Oh, and all my life I've been afraid. And maybe I'd be better off had I been. Yeah, when there's fighting going on in my head, tossing, turning me late in bed, rest is wondering it on for. She stands up on my way to passion car, kisses my face and I go down again. Oh, the count. Hey. Yeah, but I know I've seen the scene before. The character longs for more. Punishment, abuse, attack of the heart. I'm gonna get back up on the stage again. I'm gonna be the one you wanna hear again. There's a dead eye of a man in my pants. And all my life I've been afraid. Hole in your spine. But I believe that there is an infamy in love. Throw my arms of sanctity. Well, one day I'll be back. Heaven. And all my life I've been afraid. And maybe I'd be better off.
Kara Luft and J.D. Edwards together. They are Small Glories here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. That was a tune written by J.D. Edwards. J.D., you want to tell us a little bit about the origin of that one?
Well, first of all, that was a song that I wrote many years ago. Kara and I were in British Columbia. We were on Bowen Island. We were playing a show there, and I was doing a sound check, and Kara was in the backstage. She was curling her hair or something. She was getting all pretty and ready for the show, and I started just doing that. I could hear from the backstage, "We gotta do that song! It's awesome!" And she came running out with a curler half in her hair, and I taught her how to play it, and it's been our song ever since, you know. And I don't know. It's a song sort of about, you know, thinking about the past, you know, and thinking about things that maybe that I should have done, and I often think sometimes if I had stayed in school, I might have been something else other than a singer-songwriter, you know. But then I think, well, maybe then I wouldn't be here, you know, sharing these songs and stories with you all. So it's a little bit about that, looking back, but then at the same time, you know, what's the point? I mean, there's no point in going back and wishing things a bit different. It's about, you know, looking forward and trying to, you know, pursue something, and if there's something that you didn't like in your past, now's a good opportunity to change it and go in a different direction. So it's a little bit about that.
But. When you were talking about your band, J.D., were you talking about the J.D. Edwards band?
Yeah,
band?
Yeah, that's right. I got a big old rock band back home and, you know, a couple guitar players, bass, drums, keys, sometimes a saxophone player. And it's a lot of fun. It's a same sort of a vibe as what we do here as with the Small Glories, but there's just less stories, more dancing. People, you know, they like to boogie and shake it down when the J.D. Edwards band plays. So.
Yeah, a lot of heart.
Yeah.
Got a lot of heart in that.
Yeah.
So the J.D. Edwards Edwards' legacy starts in Manitoba. Is that, or in the western part of Canada? Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I was born and raised in Oshawa, Ontario, which is just outside of Toronto, on Lake Ontario. But I've lived in Winnipeg, Manitoba, for, I don't know, this is my 11th year now. So, really, I think the band is from Winnipeg. So, okay. I mean, I don't know, the legacy's really started in Toronto, but.
They have a big festival in Winnipeg, don't they?
They do. Yeah. It's one of the largest in North America, actually.
Do you get to hang out there ever?
Yeah, we've both played it a lot over the years. I think I started playing it in 2000 and was kind of playing either every year or every second year. We're not playing it this year, but we will be in the future, I'm sure.
Hopefully, anyway.
Kara, where did your musical journey start?
Calgary, Alberta, actually. I'm a transplant. My parents were folk singers in the Calgary scene. So I was brought up with lots of musicians coming and staying at our house and parents carting us off to the folk festivals in Alberta. And Calgary actually has the most folk clubs that run year-round. It's kind of an anomaly, actually. I think there are 12 folk clubs that run year-round, and they pretty much sell out almost every show. And it's really... people become members of the club, and so they'll buy a member pass, and it's kind of a unique experience to grow up in, for sure.
Quite a scene, though. I mean, just such great roots in Canada.
Yeah, and you know, both JD and I are adopted Winnipeggers now. I've been there almost 17. Oh, I guess this is my 17th year, 18th year. But it's amazing how many musicians come out of Winnipeg, particularly folk roots musicians. There's a lot of support for us there, different organizations that have funding programs or educational programs. There's a resource center. You know, people really get behind their musicians. They call us export artists, actually, because they want us to go out there and promote Canadian culture and Manitoban culture. So I remember when I first moved to Winnipeg, it was like I was adopted right away. So they're like, oh yeah, you're from Winnipeg. And I'm like, I've only lived here 2 months. They're like, yeah, but now you're from Winnipeg. I'm like, oh, okay, great. So we definitely feel very privileged to be living in such a phenomenal province and a great city.
This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio, and our guests in the studio, the Small Glories. How about another tune? Then we'll come back and find a little bit more about what you've been up to.
Sounds great.
Let's do it.
Standing still, 'cause you're no friend of mine. Tore up my heart, robbed me blind. Now I'm cutting you from my life, 'cause you're not worth my time. Down by the river in the old oak tree, I dug a grave and I dug it deep. I buried all the things that you gave to me, and now I'm finally free of your strain, free of the burden you were to me. 'Cause you're no friend of mine. You tore up my heart, you robbed me blind. Now I'm cutting you from my life, 'cause you're myself. I would never be fooled if I should come across
the likes of you. No, I would never be made a fool, 'cause you're no friend of mine. You tore up my heart, you robbed me blind. I'm cutting you from my life, 'cause you're not worth my time. You're no friend of mine, you tore up my heart, you robbed me blind. I'm cutting you from my life, 'cause you're not worth my time. No, I would never be made a fool, 'cause you're no friend of
The Small Glories in the studio. You're no friend of mine. On the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and Spotlight Cafe at the Capital Center for the Arts in Concord. A club-style atmosphere where music and theater are the main course. Upcoming artists at ccanh.com. And Plymouth State University, preparing educators to teach effectively online with a new MED in online instructional design. More at plymouth.edu/graduate. You're no friend of mine. You guys consider yourself friends? Were you friends before you became partners in the Small Glories?
I don't know. I mean,
we were acquaintances.
I guess so. More of acquaintances. I mean, we knew of one another.
So how did it happen?
Well, I remember we first met. Someone introduced us at an office somewhere. Kara was coming in to do stuff at an office, and I had been working there, and someone introduced us. But when we first started singing, there's a great theater in Winnipeg called the West End Cultural Center, and it had been around for years, and it was having their 25th anniversary. The artistic director invited a bunch of Manitoban artists together to celebrate, and paired a bunch of us off, paired Kara and I off, thinking that it would be good, and I think he was right. And, we were asked to sing two songs written by artists from Manitoba. So we did a song which is on the record called 1,000 Stars, written by a guy named Greg McPherson. Yeah, it's a great tune. And we did a Neil Young tune called Don't Let It Bring You Down. We haven't recorded that. We were thinking about it.
Yeah, I think we did.
And, our audience has really loved it. And we thought it was really great. A year had gone by. Kara had another gig. She was doing her own show at the theater. And she asked me to come and be a part of the band. And just a few weeks after that, she was going to go on tour. And she had a side guy that had been scheduled to go with her. And he had some issues. He couldn't make a couple of the dates. And so he had to back out. And I said, hey, why don't you take me? I got some time, you know. I could use a gig, you know. She said, okay. And so we went on tour, and Kara's audience thought it was super sweet, and we sounded good, and to make a long story short, by the end of that tour, we were the Small Glories, and we had a record, and now we're here, you know. I mean, it's been a few, you know. I'm probably leaving out some details, but that's okay. You don't need to know everything. And then And now we're here at NHPR, you know, so with the record Wondrous Traveler. We just released it on Friday in the States and worldwide, and we're just super stoked.
It's getting great attention, isn't it?
It is. We're very, we feel really lucky to have really great people working the record for us down here. Because we released it independently, and that's always a little bit of a, when you're an unknown band from another country, how do you get it to the right people? And so when we connected with Brad Paul, who's doing the radio stuff for us, he went kind of gung. He loved the record. Yeah. He saw us play at Folk Alliance, and he's like, "Oh my God, I love you guys! You're amazing!" Blah blah blah. And then he hooked us up with a really great publicist in Seattle. And he's loving it. And we actually just had a really great face-to-face meeting with him. And so we feel very, very honored. It's nice that I have some back history with the Waylon Jennies. That has helped open some doors, because the Jennies are a really established, well-known act in the States, as they are in Canada.
Are they still around? Parts.
They are. They just don't do as much touring. Okay. A couple of them have kids. So So that was kind of a nice thing to have in our back pocket, to be like, you know, we're not unknown artists. Here's kind of my background, and this is where I'm coming from. And JD's done lots of work in Canada and has another collective with two other guys, Leonard Podolak from a band called The Ducks and Nathan Rogers. They go by the band name Dry Bones. So a lot of people in the scene know of them. And so it was nice to be like, okay, we're not new artists. We just happen to have this new collaboration.
It's a
new cool. It's a collaboration mm-hmm. that people didn't see coming. Mm-hmm. Nobody saw it coming. Because the idea of that show.
Well, how could they see it? I mean, you know.
How could
it's
they?
Not, it's not like a.
The idea of that show in Winnipeg was they paired people off who had never sung together before.
Well, you know, you got this. Cool. And JD's kind of a rock and roller, right? He's like a little rough and tumble, you know?
Sure.
Little, okay. I mean.
Yeah, baby.
He just looks like a drive by trucker. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my gosh. I love that band, by the way. That band's awesome. That's a great band. If you're out there, I like you guys a lot. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you need another trucker on
stage. So, you know, we have folk meets drive-by trucking. So.
Although, you know, I have a...
long-haul trucker. Long actually, you know, Kara is a bit of a rocker.
I really
don't
am a rocker.
Don't be fooled. She does a rock and roll school.
So things aren't always what they seem.
No, I actually love rock music.
Gotcha.
And I'm actually a classical.
Well, you wouldn't get that from your solo work. I don't think.
No,
so
but, you know, I was still am a big Zeppelin fan, and a lot of their influences were these folky guys.
Sure, yeah.
And so I
grew up Gallows Pole, right? That tune was
exactly,
a traditional tune.
Sure.
Black, we should even do that song.
Yeah, let's do that one. Yeah.
There's a great song that they do called Black Mountainside, which is a traditional called Black Waterside
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that Bert Jansch from Pentangle had arranged the guitar part for. So I listened to all these folky people growing up in the household, and then I was like, my parents were concerned I was going deaf because I loved rock music so much. I would sit with the headset on. We didn't have a TV, so we had lots and lots of music. And they took me to get my hearing tested because I listened to rock music so loud that they could hear it through the headset. And the doctor was like, no, her hearing's fine. She just likes loud rock music. So it's like, yeah, it's really, this has been a very kind of, I think it surprised both of us how well the collaboration is on every level, from a singing level, from an interest in our musical taste. You know, JD
our
brings
performance
stuff.
Too. We have a lot of fun on stage.
Oh, we have a lot of fun on stage.
Tell some stories.
Got a lot of energy.
I remember at that Winnipeg show, because we'd never sung together and never performed together. And JD's like, I think we should she kick our legs out and like give it some, you know. Give it some power and some guts. I'd never done that on stage. I mean, I played with the Jennies, and we were all like very, you know, beautiful performance, but very staid, right? Like it's just a beautiful presentation, but
very
there wasn't a lot of physical movement on stage. And Jennie's like, yeah! And so I feel like he's come along and helped kind of unlock this part of me that has always wanted to do that on stage. I just haven't really been in a situation that allowed that.
Now people are throwing their clothes at us on stage. No.
So I just want you to know, JD, when I said rough and tumble, I didn't really mean rough and tumble. I meant unleashed, okay?
Oh, no, it's fine. Rough and tumble's cool.
I think he's down with the rough and tumble.
Okay.
But no, unleashed is good, too.
Okay.
I like that.
Unleashed.
Unleashed.
The unleashed JD Edwards.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God, that's a T-shirt.
It is. We've got the Small Glories here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. We're unleashing it tonight and happy to have them here all the way from Canada with their new CD, which is called Wondrous Traveler. It's a real delight. It's such a treat when you get this great new music in the box. So if you could play another one for us, that'd be pretty great.
We're ready to rock, baby.
You want to do the...
Yeah, let's do it.
to this young man arose and gathered his clothes, saying, fare thee well to me. You gave to me
the first you.
First you lay on my breast. You can make me believe with your lying tongue that the sun rose in. God read your wanted will. There's not a woman in this whole wide world that's easily led as I. Sure the fishes will fly and the seas run dry before you.
What a treat to have the Small Glories in our studio here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Kara, did you record that solo on a solo album?
I did. On my first album after I left the Jennies, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. And the fella that I worked with as a producer actually produced the Wondrous Traveler album. He's a great rocker, actually, from Canada. His name is Neil Osborne. He's the lead singer and songwriter from a band called 5440. And it was an absolute treat to actually have him work on this project with us. I had suggested his name to JD because I knew, you know, oh, we're going to be working on a record together. We really need to have somebody come in and help us navigate this together as our first record. And I said, this is who I've worked with in the past. What do you think? And JD said, yeah, I think.
As only JD could say it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
No, it was awesome. I mean, I grew up listening to Neil's music and the 5440 band. And when I was in university, they would come through Kingston and play, you know, and it was sweet. It was really great. I was a little bit starstruck when we first had breakfast with them. That was the first time we met them. And you know, slowly but surely we got to know one another and got to understand each other's way of working, and you know, when I got to understand his sense of humor and stuff like that, like it really turned out to be a wonderful thing, and we're great friends these days, and we're super happy with the work that we did on the record.
I want to talk a little bit about your songwriting. The first song out of the gate had I Paid. There's something that really captivating about that. I just wondered who's been an influence for you in the songwriting and your experience with songwriting. Who did you listen to that said, you know what, maybe I could put a couple words together?
I've had so many influences over my short life. But I'm a huge Bruce Coburn fan. I'm a big Martin Sexton fan. I like Tim O'Brien, Daryl Scott. You know, I mean, I could go on and on and on. I don't know if we have enough time for me to go through everything, but I don't know. I think there's just this something inside of me that just wants to connect with people, you know, and wants to relate with people. And so I think, you know, my inspiration really comes from my family and from the friends and my peers and the people around me, and just wanting to write good music. I'm really influenced by my peers, by my friends, mm-hmm. Especially in Winnipeg. There's so many great artists. There's so many great songwriters.
That's what I'm hearing.
And all across phenomenal. Canada, of course, in the United States too, and beyond, overseas and whatnot. But I really take a lot from the people around me, and Winnipeg's kind of a funny city in the sense that there's a lot of artists, and there is competition, but it's like a friendly thing. It's like, oh, you've written an amazing song. It's kind of inspiring me to write a song like that, or maybe better, or you know what? And so it keeps kind of going back and forth.
Well, the song
like
"Old Garage" was that? Yeah. Did you write that? Was that autobiographical? Did you have a family member that who may have been hiding out in a garage with great tunes, like
well, first of all,
Blue Suede Shoes? Or
yeah, yeah. First of all, I wrote that song with a wonderful friend by the name of Erin Propp. She's a great singer-songwriter and jazz singer and performer in Winnipeg. And we wrote it at a songwriter's retreat. But that song is about my grandfathers. I had three grandfathers. My dad and my mom, they both had their, and when they passed away, my dad's mom remarried and another grandfather. But the house that I live in with my wife in Winnipeg used to be owned by her grandparents, or her grandmother passed away in that house. But her grandfather was really famous in the neighborhood, you know, and he'd help out with all sorts of projects and things that people needed. You know, he had all the tools. You know, I often say he had the left-handed hammers and stuff like that. You know, he had everything you could ask for. And of course, Aaron's grandfathers too. And that one is really about them, you know, our grandfathers and all those people who, you know, really set up our way of living. You know, we're really inspired by those men. And
well, there just seemed to be a soundtrack. You know, I know sometimes our families might influence mm-hmm, our
exactly.
soundtrack. Right?
Absolutely.
And so that's what I got from that song.
Yeah, for sure.
There's that a soundtrack.
And every time really we sing it, we always have somebody coming up after the show saying, oh, thank you. I just, you know, it makes me think of my grandfather.
Sure.
They often tell a story about, like, actually on the BC tour, somebody's grandfather had just passed away, like the week before or something. So when we sang that song, they were just like, oh, thank you, you know, tears in their eyes. And
now you answer the question too, Kara. What about songwriting for you? You've added your tunes to the album. And were there people that really kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, you listen to the songs over and over? You know, back in my day, we had vinyl. Back in my day, we had vinyl albums.
And what's that?
Yeah.
Just keep putting the needle back down, and now you can just hit restart. But
yeah.
Well, definitely, you know, as J.D. mentioned, Bruce Coburn, I think he's a phenomenal, not just a phenomenal guitar player, but a phenomenal lyricist, too. So sure. I find that when I'm listening to material that other people have written, I can fall in love with a song on just the music level, and I can fall in love with the lyric level. And when I can fall in love with both, then I go, ah, now that's a song that I can really connect with. So my goal as a songwriter is to try and have those two marry each other, so to speak, have a really strong melody and really strong song structure. And like JD said, you know, we have so many people in our community, both within Winnipeg and beyond, other artists that when we share CDs with each other, I listen to what other people have written. I go, wow, that's really inspirational. But, you know, I grew up in this folky tradition. So there are a lot of songwriters that we listen to, and the great Canadians like Stan Rogers, who has a very specific style of writing. It's a very Canadian ballad. And then there's the Ian Tysons of the world. You know, my parents, we listened a lot to Ian Tyson, and a lot of, you know, singer-songwriter folkies from down here, from, I want to say, the Hootenanny era, and also the labor movement, like Pete Seeger, like a lot of those classic, you know, songs from the traditional songs.
Traditionalists.
Yeah, the traditionalists. Mm-hmm. So, And then a lot of English folk writers.
You mentioned Bert Jansch.
So a lot of those guys, I know they wrote or they reinterpreted traditional songs. Steel I Span was I'm a huge Steel I Span fan, but they wrote a lot of stuff that sounded very old and traditional. And so that's the stuff that I really gravitated towards. And I, as a youngster and as a teenager, I mean, there was the Led Zeppelin. I listened a lot to Buddy Holly. So, you know, whatever, that's very 50s pop style of lyricism, but there is a real catchiness to it that I love. I love the Rolling Stones. I love the catchiness of their material. I listened to the Everly Brothers. I listened a lot to U2. I loved U2. When the Joshua Tree album came out, I listened to that thing on vinyl repeat nonstop because I found it deeply spiritual, and I thought sonically it was such a beautiful sounding record. And then all of their older material I really tapped into as well. So JD and I are, I think, we'd say the same thing, in that we have all these influences from many different genres, mm-hmm. and all of those people influence us. There's one songwriter in particular that I'm really close friends with, and JD's gotten to know as well, Lewis Melville. He's up in Canada, and him and his partner, Tanis Sliman, are real kind of fixtures on the folky scene. But he's one of these, I've co-written a lot of material with him, because he's one of these guys who really kind of helps you learn to how do you blend the universal and the personal and bring those together, so that when you're writing, particularly about a personal experience, how are you going to approach it so that when the listener, when you're playing it,
so they
can totally identify mm-hmm. with it. So I've learned a lot from people like him, and to have people like him and Neil Osborne, he's a great pop rock songwriter, which again, very different style of writing than what I would probably lean towards. He wants to encourage us to say more with less words. And so we would, when JD and I were working on the Wondrous Traveler album, we did a week of pre-production with him, and he literally tore our songs apart. Mm-hmm. The second song, the Holding On song
on tough.
There.
It wasn't easy.
It was really
sure.
hard. The Holding On song in particular was one song where he changed the instrumentation. He changed the key. He changed
the tempo.
The whole color. And JD and I were sitting there like, oh my God, how can we identify now with this song? But what he had done was he helped take the blinders off so that we were able to see what the song was really about. It actually was an incredibly sad, personal song. And he said, now I want to cry. When I hear you guys sing it like this, now you've done the job of the songwriter, where you've really captured the lyrics in a way that people are going to actually be able to identify with. So yeah, that's a very long-winded answer to your simple question, but it's not such a simple question.
Kara Luft and J.D. Edwards are in our studio. Together they are the Small Glories. How much time do you have under your belt as a duo now?
Well, I don't know. I think it's 2 years. I think it's just over 2 years now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Something like that.
2 years together in their first CD.
Yeah.
And they're on their radio tour right now. They're going to be maybe coming to a radio station near you in the coming weeks before they head back to Homeward Bound to play more gigs and maybe do some more songwriting.
Absolutely.
We're very happy to have them right here, where we can hear another song from the Small Glories here at NHPR.
This song is called Way Over Yonder in the Minor Key. And it goes like this. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Sing like you let me see? Way over yonder where the wind blows free. No one can see in our olive tree. And there ain't nobody in the sing like me. There ain't nobody in the sing like me.
Small Glories with one of the best performances I've ever had in the studio here at NHPR. What a great time on the folk show. I hope you're enjoying it as well. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and the Birches Treatment Center, offering partial hospital and intensive outpatient psychiatric and addiction day programs with available on-campus housing. BrattleboroRetreat.org/Birches. That tune, Way Over Yonder, in a minor key, you may recognize from not only Woody Guthrie, but Billy Bragg put a twist on that. Wilco recorded that, right?
Yeah, the whole story actually is that that album, the Mermaid Avenue album, were all Woody Guthrie lyrics that hadn't actually seen music. And so Billy Bragg and the Wilco guys got together and put music to all these songs. And then J.D. said, man, I'm going to put a whole other twist onto this sucker.
Wow, I've never seen anybody dance quite like that to a Woody Guthrie tune. It was pretty awesome.
We always say that I'm flailing, but then I found out at our show.
It's crunking, really.
No, just frolicking. No. Frolicking.
Frolicking.
Somebody said the move I'm doing is actually called the cowboy. I was like, oh, good. I actually am.
Have you gone on cowboy boots?
Hook your thumbs into your
Me?
Belt
oh,
buckle?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
I mean, you got your banjo.
It's hard
on,
to
so.
Do that when you're playing,
when
the banjo.
Playing the banjo.
So how many other instruments you're traveling with? You got the guitar, you got your harmonica, which is pretty portable, and you got the banjo and guitar. Any other instruments?
I play the finger cymbals.
Yeah, JD sometimes.
I don't know. No, not really. This is it.
This
I mean,
is it.
What you see is what we got.
What we got.
You know.
So, do you have any shows planned for? I mean, I know you've got the radio tour, but what's your schedule looking like to promote the new album?
Well, we're doing
in
a
person.
We're doing a lot in Canada, and we did a few shows along the West Coast. We did a show in Boston. And we're coming down for the Sisters Folk Festival in Oregon in September, so we're going to be doing some more stuff. We're pretty booked in the summer up in Canada, which is great. part of our goal is to just get the word out down here and get some agent interest and build a little bit more of a team down here so that we can come down on a regular basis. Mm-hmm.
Like a street team to get you into concert venues?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Street team, yeah. Agents, you know.
We need to get you over at some of the venues here in New Hampshire.
Yes. Yeah.
Because they can't just confine it to the studio at NHPR and be fair to the rest of the population.
I agree.
They need to see you.
Yeah,
this has been a really great time to have you here.
Well, thanks for having us here.
So what do you think is the most important thing that you want people to know about the Small Glories?
We're social workers.
In a way, yeah, I know. I've joked about that in the past. My wife is a social worker, and I think sometimes I am a little bit too, or we are, you know, we're hoping that our music can bring...
I believe you're social.
Yeah, we're definitely social, and we work, you know. We often say, we're professional drivers who play music from time to time, you know. But yeah, you know, we want to spread some joy around, you know. We want to take people on journeys, and you know, we want to show them that you know, folk music's still alive, and it's you know, we I don't know.
Well, there's something about the doing a concert that that JD and I really feel it's not just about us being on stage performing for an audience. There's a reciprocal thing that's happening. There's an energy exchange that's happening. And so we joke about the social worker thing, but really, you know, you never quite know what people's headspace is when they come to a concert. Mm-hmm. We have a really important job to give people maybe respite from whatever they're going through, or mm-hmm. to help them tap into a joy or to tap into a memory. Like, you know, singing that old garage song, people think about their families when they mm-hmm. hear other songs on the album, you know, or the stories and the songs that happened at the show. We're really trying to have this shared experience with people so that it's not just us and them. There is something that's happening. And so in that respect, I think that's something as the duo, we feel really, you know, we feel incredibly lucky to have this job because it's, you know.
And I think too, you know, although we are from Canada, and I'd like to think that we're not, it doesn't matter where we're from, you know, it's mm-hmm. like we're all here together, you know, we're all about this unity, you know. It's not you and me, but it's we, you know.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Well, the new album is called Wondrous Traveler
by
the Small Glories, and they are going to be hopefully coming to a venue near you mm-hmm. pretty soon because it's a real treat to see these two in action. You just can't do it justice on the radio. We can't help you see it on the radio as much as we really would like to. And I'm just going to ask, you know, you said, you know, you feel like social workers. Is it possible that you have a spare room in November that some people may want to flock to?
Yeah, we're thinking, we're going to have to
I got an old garage, that's
for
sure.
You've got an old garage that's fallen down.
Okay. Yeah, you know, we got lots of space up in Canada. There is a lot of wilderness up there.
There may be some people that might be seeking you out.
Yeah.
So you can find them there at smallglories.com.
The Small Glories.
Is the website where you can read one of the many reviews. They've gotten some really great reviews for their work. It's so, you know, especially in Canada, we haven't heard too much about them here in the States yet. But we're trying to get the word out, and happy to play the CD and looking forward to more from the Small Glories. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and Revision Energy of Northern New England, offering a solar energy seminar June 8th at 6 p.m. at Tucked In Organics in Amherst. Details at revisionenergy.com/events. We've been visiting with the Small Glories. What are you going to finish up with tonight?
We're going to do the title track off our record. This one's called Wondrous Traveler. And this is actually two songs that we've mashed together. Not really mashed, but you know, we've put together.
It's traditional. It's got a traditional.
Yeah, they're two songs that come from the old tradition of shape note singing. You know, this is old gospel music, really, and
sacred harp
singing. If you don't know what it is, I'm sure lots of people do. But for those who don't, if you can picture your hymnal or your sheet music, and the notes you use, but instead of the notes that you see on the staff, replace those with shapes: triangles, squares, diamonds, and circles. They each have a word associated with the shapes, la, so, fa, and mi. And you'll hear that in this song. And the idea was that you would use the shapes and those words to learn the song, learn the verse, the melodies, and the harmonies, and the choruses. And once you figured it out, then you can go back and put in in the words. And traditionally, you'd hear it in four parts: bass, tenor, alto, and soprano. And if you were to witness it, you would see it in people sitting in a square in their sections, and people, you'll hear us sing together. I'm doing my hand motions, but I know people can't see this. But you'll hear us sing together, and you'll listen that we're singing something not quite in unison, but together. And then we'll dance around and come back together, and you'll hear that with our instruments as well. And we just think it's a really beautiful music, and it's kind of a, for us, I think it's a little bit of a respect from where we came from, mm-hmm. and our parents' parents. We grew up in the church, and a lot of spirituality in our family, and not just at church, but at home too, and everywhere we go. So we just have a little respect for that.
And the tradition too, that it actually started in the northeast part of the states at things called singing schools, and it was a way to teach people how to sing if they didn't know how to sing, or they were illiterate, or both. And then it kind of moved down into the southern part of the states and ended up in churches. So, and a lot of the songs started out as sea shanties from England, and then they Christianized them when they got here. And so the folky tradition part of me goes, oh yeah, sea shanty with God in it now.
The Small Glories are going to take us to church with one last song. Again, we thank them for stopping by and wish them safe travels from the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
Shining hour is gone, storm is gathering in the west, and will and death and fear. C'est ce path no refuge.
Small Glories with the title track from their debut CD here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. For details about where you'll find the Small Glories or to get a copy of the disc in your hands, visit thesmallglories.com. This is NHPR.
So you know NHPR's Secret Drive?
Yeah, we're doing a fun drive without interrupting the programs.
Right. Well, I just found out about the Secret Swag.
Secret Swag?
Yeah. Everyone who makes a gift at nhpr.org/support gets a special thank you gift.
Nice. So what is it?
I can't tell you.
What do you mean?
It's a secret. Make a gift and find out.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and NHPR Science and Education Reporting, supported in part by the University of New Hampshire, offering more than 200 degrees on 3 campuses, where your education is more than a matter of degree. UNH.edu. And North Branch Construction, specializing in commercial, residential, institutional, and sustainable construction since 1958. On time, on budget, and online at northbranch.net. I'm Kate McNally saying so long for this edition of The Folk Show. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. Let's do this again next Sunday at 7 o'clock here at the stations of New Hampshire Public Radio, WEVO Concord 89.1, WEVS Nashua 88.3, WEVH Hanover 91.3, WEVN Keene 90.7, WEVC Gorham 107.1, WEVJ Jackson 99.5, WEVF Colebrook 90.3, and WEVQ Littleton 91.9, and online at nhpr.org. Be safe, stay well, and thanks again for hanging out with us here with The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.